Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 20. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died to sin, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. A young man stood with his girlfriend outside of the church one Sunday evening as she tried to get him inside. Finally, he agreed to go in, saying, "All right, just this once, but he'd better make it short." Writer Robert Louis Stevenson attended church one Sunday and later recorded in his diary, "I went to church this morning and was not greatly depressed." A want ad in a newspaper went something like this: "Wanted by an invalid lady, a housekeeper and companion, must be good churchwoman, must have good references, and a cheerful Christian, if possible." Where did the idea get started that Christianity is a dull thing? Where did it begin that to have religion, to be a Christian, a person has to be boring? The most exciting thing in the entire world is Christian faith. The most wonderful thing a person can ever have is a living faith in Jesus Christ. Read the book of Acts. No one ever accused the early Christians of being bores. They were accused of many things, such as getting too excited, getting upset. People knew something had happened to them and assumed that maybe they were drunk. They caused an uproar everywhere they went. In fact, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, it says they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Do you think people accused Lazarus of being boring after Jesus raised him from the dead? I bet that everywhere Lazarus went after Jesus called him back from the dead, there was excitement. He had been dead for 4 days, but Jesus called him back into life. People had seen him die and watched him buried, and now they saw him walking around again. And this is exactly the description that Paul gave in our text concerning a Christian's new life. A man was dead and now he's alive. Paul used the phrase "alive from the dead." In verse 13, he says that the Christian life is a resurrected life. It's a new life. The Christian life is not about restrictions and frustrations. The Christian life is one of truth, it's one of excitement, and it's one of genuine fulfillment. And there are three things that are revealed when we consider the concept of being spiritually alive from the dead. And these form the core of the meaning of Christian faith. And I'd like to take a look at those for just a moment this morning. First of all, every Christian was once dead in sin. Every Christian. This is how God's word describes the person who's separated from God, spiritually dead. Of course, most people don't think of themselves as spiritually dead. What does it mean to be dead? When a person dies physically, we cease to have a relationship or fellowship with that person. There's separation. And when a person is dead spiritually, he or she has no fellowship with God. No relationship with God. Look at Paul's description in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So to be dead in sin is to be bound by the routine of this physical life, with no purpose and experiencing frustration everywhere, not knowing what this life is all about. To be dead in sin is to have an empty formality about life, going through the motions of religious ritual, just possessing lifeless spiritual senses. Our sins become a barrier we can't get past by our own efforts. As a result, we're separated from God. And life apart from God will not satisfy, no matter what we try to do. Life without Jesus Christ is to be dead in sin. John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So, every Christian was once dead in sin. But second, every Christian is now dead to sin. In verse 11, the first part of it, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Being dead in sin and being dead to sin are different conditions. You know, what does it mean when a person or an individual becomes dead to sin? First of all, being dead to sin means that you're no longer controlled by sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, "Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Does that mean you'll stop sinning? Well, no. But there's a difference. You may sin, but as a Christian, you can't continue in sin. Sin will no longer be the habit of your life. When you're dead to sin, you're free from the power of sin. Also, being dead to sin means that you're no longer dominated by stress in your life. Our attitude toward life depends on what happens to us. As believers, we're not overpowered by the pressures of this world. We don't have to be at the mercy of what happens to us. We don't have to build our lives around the circumstances of life. We don't have to be dominated by stress. And also, being dead to sin means that you're no longer afraid of death. Sometimes we fear our own death. And sometimes we fear the death of others that we love. Being afraid to die is slavery. But when we're dead to sin, we're free from that. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Just worrying about that, being afraid of that. When we're dead to sin, we take on a new attitude toward life and death. When we're dead to sin, we take on a new attitude toward ourselves and toward others. When we're dead to sin, we take on a new attitude toward this world and toward God. We no longer are afraid of death, and so it doesn't control our lives, it doesn't rule our lives. To be dead is to go and be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So all of that concern doesn't impact the way that we live our lives anymore. And then every Christian has become alive to God. The second part of verse 11 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why is it important that we understand what it means to be alive to God? Well, being alive to God means some things. First of all, it means that your life has been transformed by God. 1 John 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Could you imagine Lazarus just sitting around idly reading books for the rest of his life after Jesus raised him from the dead? Well, no, it's a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 affirms that. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Billy Sunday sat in a drunken stupor with a group of other ball players on a curb near a gutter one night when he heard singing from a small church. He was interested and stumbled into the service where he met the Lord who changed his life. Billy Sunday's evangelism virtually changed this country for Jesus Christ during the first half of the 20th century. John Wesley was an educated, wealthy part of the upper class of England. And one day, he met Jesus, and his conversion resulted in the birth of the Methodist Church. Being alive to God means that you've been transformed, but it also means that you're in partnership with God's purpose. Consider the early Christians again. Their lives were routine, they were even meaningless. They found Jesus, and their lives were moved on to greatness. Great honor was given to Winston Churchill when he died. He was the first commoner in the history of England to receive a royal burial. But that was nothing compared to the honor given to the followers of Christ to be a part of God's work. I'm excited as an individual Christian to be in partnership with God and His purposes. And I can't understand how people can be content to live out their lives like someone throwing an empty bucket into an empty well and drawing up nothing. It makes no sense at all. Being alive to God means also you're above the circumstances. Above the circumstances of trouble. You will come face to face with trouble, but you don't have to be defeated with that trouble. Someone wrote, I'm learning that this trouble is not merely a burden I must learn to bear. It's an opportunity that I must learn to use. We try to escape it or we try to run away from it, but those who are alive to God treat trouble as an opportunity and rise above it in order to triumph over it. Well, let me just conclude with this thought. Man-made dams stretch across canyons and river basins. When they partner them together with generators, they provide electricity to light up various communities. And by following the path of least resistance, water flows down the mountains, around hills, through valleys, and just looking for the lowest point. Man comes along and he builds a dam. The water stops, the reservoir fills up, and often a lake is born. The water continues to come down from the higher ground, and the lake and the reservoir just fill up to its capacity, and then it's got to spill out somewhere. They make these spillways until the water, instead of just flowing over, it goes through these spillways, through these generators, and it produces hydroelectric power. And you know what? Life is like that. Times come in your life when problems build a dam. They build an obstruction that says you can't pass by here. But being alive to God means that something within us refuses to accept the circumstances or the trouble as final. Instead, in Christ, we get channeled by God's power into His spillways. We end up rising above the circumstances, triumphing over the trouble, and God accomplishes His plan through our lives. A changed life is the story of Christianity. It's the story of being made alive to God. It's the story of spiritually becoming alive in Jesus. It's a story that the world needs to hear. The soul that was dead in sin becomes dead to sin and alive to God. That transformation is what it means to become a Christian. Salvation is not just going to church occasionally. That's not what salvation is about. Salvation changes our lives. The experience of salvation partners us with the purposes of God and causes us to be able to rise above the circumstances and triumph over the issues, the troubles in our lives. Have you experienced this new life yourself? Have you experienced it personally? Do you have that salvation as you sit here today? Do you have that salvation? If you don't, you can have it through Jesus Christ.